I'm Beth Perrell. My guest is Jennifer Evans, President and CEO of United Arts of Central Florida. And Jennifer, the plan is for us to introduce this year's collaborative campaign. But in order to get there, I want to ask you a more general question first, which is, what is United Arts? What's your mission?
Absolutely. So our mission is really based on serving all four counties of Central Florida. So we serve Lake, Osceola, Orange, and Seminole County. And our mission is to inspire and enrich communities by strengthening art, science, history, and culture through strategic collaborations and investments. And we just went through a wonderful strategic planning process and we refined our mission. So we feel really some new words that really engage us to be more bold and strategic to strengthen. When you hear about some of the things we're working on in this conversation today, it's really about strengthening the arts ecosystem. From individual artists to arts organizations, nonprofits, really creating a community where the arts can thrive and where artists can thrive. So it's a big part of that. And at the core, you heard the word collaborations and investments. So a big part of our work is collaboration. It's in our DNA. This community is very supportive of collaboration, of people leveraging their own strengths to do have collective impact. And so for us, collaboration is everything from collaborating with other sectors like the public sector and Visit Orlando and the health systems, healthcare systems and education and senior services to really looking at how are we strategically investing the resources that we have, whether it's money, social capital, whether it's intellect. So really looking at that mission to strengthen our sector by using very intentional and strategic collaborations and investments. So with the outcome of enriching our community, really inspiring people to be creative and to make the quality of life, quality of education, in our economy where everyone can prosper. So that's a long answer, but I hope you really heard that the passion behind our new purpose and our new mission.
Yeah, if you would, though, would you give us a sense of the metrics? Because I'm certainly United Arts has been doing good work in terms of strengthening and collaboration all along, but there's something you've identified that you want to make even more powerful.
Yes, I want to share this with you because it's really important. So through our strategic planning process, we did a lot of research on the word thrive. What does it mean for an artist to thrive, for an arts ecosystem, the whole sector to thrive, nonprofits, creative entrepreneurs? How do we make sure that we are thriving? So how do you measure thrive, right? So we look at a number of things and we actually did some research around this and we identified eight indicators that we need to achieve to consider ourselves a thriving ecosystem. And when you think about an environmental ecosystem that's thriving, we know scientifically what that is. So what we've done is we've prepared eight indicators of a thriving arts ecosystem. One of them is that we have an abundance of artists that are supported by not only a variety of disciplines, so not just all performing arts or all visual arts, but that we have media artists, that we have ink artists, that we have florists and culinary artists, that we really have all the arts and creative processes included, so that there's an abundance of that. Very important that there's strong representation, that it's not just one culture or one art form, but that there's strong representation of many cultures, of many art forms, many ages, and also looking at entry points of being a hobbyist to all the way to being, you know, someone with their master's or a PhD in fine arts or a musician. So really looking at that. We also need to make sure that artists have a platform to do their work, to make it and to showcase it. So really, how are we looking at an abundance for individual artists. Then looking at organizations, so these arts and science and history nonprofits, are there a variety of them? Are they all at different levels? You know, emerging organizations, organizations that have been around for 10 years, organizations like our art museum and our Orlando Family Stage that are 100 years old. So looking at the variety that we have, but all of them being effectively run by strong, great leaders, by strong boards that adhere to their governance and their bylaws, and that they have sound financial management. So really looking at those organizations, and that's how we measure, you know, whether an organization is successful. Great art is matters, right? Do they have aggressive marketing? Can they attract new audiences? Are their audiences growing? That's how you know if an organization's art is thriving, is if they're selling more tickets or more people are signing up for classes or more people are coming to their exhibits. So that's really important. The third one is, do we have growing and engaged audiences? Can we show that there's a demand for the creative process in our community? Is there innovation and creativity? Are we solving problems in a creative way? Are we presenting art in innovative ways to reach new audiences? Are there opportunities for all people to learn and participate in the arts, to be educated in the arts? Is there opportunities for professional development for the people working in the arts. So that's really important. And then the last three, is there a supportive environment? Is there enough funding by the private sector, by the public sector? Is there earned revenue opportunities that we can seize? A strong infrastructure I talked about. Do the artists have a place to create and showcase? Do we have enough venues? Do we have transportation to get to these venues? Do we have the digital and technology infrastructure that we need? And then finally, the last one is the impact of the arts across all sectors? So the arts aren't just in a bucket, but they're seen in economic development and cross-sector partnerships, social impact. Are we able to encourage a social cohesion and through partnerships? So we do have a very clear and measurable way to know. We have KPIs for everything that we do around these. So when we talk about a thriving ecosystem, arts community, what are we doing to strengthen that? We're pointed towards those metrics, those eight indicators.
Fascinating list. Are any of those front of mind? What kind of measurement are you looking at right now? And, you know, I think about ecosystem. If the ecosystem isn't in a place where one could thrive, say an animal or a plant, it hibernates.
Right.
So, how is art doing in terms of hibernation or thriving?
Well, so, you know, one of the things that we have start with benchmarks. Like right now, we have a really low amount of individual artist studios, working studios that are affordable for artists. And so, what we've got to do is figure out all the partnerships. How do we identify new partnerships, whether it's commercial developers or it's schools? Where can we find places for artists to create that work? So if we can improve the number of partnerships with the for-profit sector to help artists find places to work and to create, that'll be a huge KPI. We did a pilot program with Highwoods Properties downtown just this past year, or just in 2025, that created six working studios for artists for 9 months. And we learned so much during that time. And so what we want to do is take what we learned and find, you know, collaborative commercial partners that have vacant spaces that artists could use for either pop-ups for, you know, 60 to 90 days or for an annual lease. So we have one pilot and we know what we did right and we know where we need to improve. So doing that. The other thing is how many artists and organizations are connected. So we convene a lot at United Arts. We convene nonprofits, we convene artists. How many new people are hearing about these convenings so they can come together and share knowledge, share resources? That whole collaborative concept comes from convening, bringing people together to learn about each other. The other thing that we're really measuring, and we can do this through our grants program. So we fund, we have grants that serve, 125 organizations, but about 60 of them get unrestricted operating support. Well, they have to apply for that and they have to report on the work they're doing. And we can tell through their grant application if they have sound financial management, if they have turnover in their staff, if they're able to retain their staff, if they have qualified executive directors, if their board is active and fiscally responsible, as well as providing the governance. So there are a lot of ways that we can measure that, level of excellence coming out of beginning nonprofits that are new to nonprofits that have been around for a long time. Governance is critical, and having great leaders for these organizations that get paid a proper salary, all of those things, that's a competitive salary for our region. There are other things that we can look at as it relates to the thriving is, are these organizations getting enough earned income? So the arts are different than social services, or human service organizations, in that we have the opportunity to sell tickets or to have people sign up for classes. There are a lot of free things in the arts. There are about 600 events in Central Florida that are free. But we also have ticketed events, anything from $5 to $50. And so are they able to increase their earned income, which shows a sign that people e are either responding to tickets that are available or responding to the arts or the art form that's being presented. But also, when we capture that ticket sale, we can look at the diversification of our audiences, where they're coming from, how many tickets they buy together. Is it a family? So it's really fascinating when you look at the data that we collect, either through our grant making, our organizations through their ticket sales or their registrations. We can learn a lot. So what we're doing is saying, in the next 5 years, we want to improve that. We want to improve earned income opportunities for the arts, and that's through the demand for the products that they are selling. So we have, we could go on, and I'd be happy to share. We could have another conversation about these eight indicators, and the KPIs for each one, because it's really fascinating. And even talking about the public funding and how that needle has moved and how it stayed solid coming from the county and the city, but then talking about our federal and state funding and how volatile that
Sure.
is. But
But I'm kind of curious, when you're looking at those indicators and the data you're collecting, I take it you're not doing it in the bubble of just the counties you serve, but rather you are looking at that sort of outside forces and their impact on
right.
what can
So,
happen in.
absolutely. I mean, we can look at the national dialogue. We can look at the cost of living, in our region. We can look at the strain on the social services, on human services in our region, and how that will impact the arts. Hopefully, we come in as a catalyst for good during a time when our social services and our human services are being really drained, and the demand for those are high. But we hope that people see the arts also as a healing and a restoration part of their lives. And so it's really, when you think about, we do only serve, our mission is, our bylaws are only to serve those four counties, but we're very aware of how the arts are a catalyst for good at a time when the bordering counties are being challenged with art, which is zero cut, just across the board cutting the arts. And so we're very aware of that. And as a state arts leaders, as a local arts agency, we're working hard to listen and figure out how do we fix this for the long term? Because it's not just today. I mean, the arts have been in debate for, sadly, in America for a long time.
As you were talking about increasing ticket sales, et cetera, I was thinking about those arts that make such an impact on the quality of life in Central Florida, but they are not things for which you pay tickets. It could be, for example, I was sitting at a traffic light, and you know how it is sitting in traffic. But if you can look over at that utility box that's been painted in some clever way, or the programs through United Arts that serve children writing, free expression, that kind of thing. These aren't necessarily ticket sales.
The arts are so much deeper than entertainment. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And how do we make sure that we don't lose the energy behind those things that are improving people's mental health, improving educational outcomes, creating workforce skills for the creative industries that exist in our community, looking at ways that arts are healing in our hospitals and with our veterans. At the Veterans Hospital, and really looking at those. And they are not ticketed. They are impactful, meaningful, mission-based ways that the arts integrate into the other sectors of our community that are critical to survival. So those services are at the core of all the arts organizations. We certainly have an entertainment perspective. But every single mission of every organization that we serve has a part of what they do that is about transformation in the community and adding, real value to people's lives. And so I think that I'm glad you asked that because it's so much more than entertainment and everyone's working hard. But I will tell you, one of the beautiful things about this region is that our city and our county, our cities, not just city singular, but cities plural, are they know that creative placemaking is going to attract more business to their core business develop, their business district. So whether you are in Kissimmee or St. Cloud or you're in Mount Dora or Eustis, those city leaders, those county leaders, they know that the arts attract more people. They provide, outlets for their citizens to feel like they have a sense of belonging. They increase community pride. And they're early win. Sometimes we wait years for things to happen as it relates to infrastructure, but the arts are early win. And when you see a mural or an electric box, that's because usually public funding has been invested. Now, if somebody's a private owner of a building and they've hired a local artist to put a mural on there or to improve their place, their sense of place with art, that is even better, right? Because you have private investment. But in our region, we're very fortunate that there's an investment in public art.
So let's talk more about investment because I'd like you to now turn our attention to the collaborative campaign, what it is, and place it within the funding issues you've brought up.
Absolutely. So we are kicking off on December 1st, the 33rd year of the Collaborative Campaign for the Arts. This is something that we are United Arts, so we're about collaborating. We're about unifying the arts community to come together to engage our community to invest in the arts. So there are 40 organizations and then plus United Arts. So there's 41 organizations. We've set a goal to raise $10 million. There's no more important time to support the arts than now, and it's a it is goes from December 1st through April 30th, and individuals, corporations, foundations, anyone can give any amount. Last year we set a goal for 6.5 million, and we exceeded 9 million by about $71,000. So we're stretching to get 10 million. We hope to renew $7 million of what we raised last year. Sometimes we receive one-time gifts. We hope people will renew every year, but things change in people's lives. Their timing changes. But we hope that people will really step up to the plate. And every gift matters. The neat thing about the collaborative campaign is that there's one pledge card. So you can go to the United Arts website. You see a list of all the organizations that you can give to. And let's say you wanted to give $500 and you wanted to help five different organizations. You write one check or make one credit card payment. And you can select five groups to give $100 to, or 10 groups to give $50 to. So it's really easy for the donor to participate because it's one check or one payment, and you can designate who you would like your funds to go to. You can also pay it out as long as it's paid within the calendar year of 2026. You can pay it in December of this year of 2025. That sounds a little confusing, but we start the campaign December 1st to get year-end giving, so you can do that. But then you have from January 1 to December 31 and 26 to make your full payment. So you can give monthly, you can give quarterly, you can give one time, and you can give to all of these organizations. So
So you can pick the organizations, or you could simply say, here's my money, use it for whatever.
yeah, and that's the Arts for All Fund. So United Arts supports individual artists. We support all those organizations. So if you want to give to the Arts for All Fund, then we support them all. And so that's a great way, to give. But if you have a passion for visual arts, then give to all the visual arts organizations. If you live in Lake County and you want to support the arts in Lake County, you can give to all the organizations in Lake County. If you love music, I mean, whatever your interests are, and as you said, you can give to one. The great thing is about the collaborative campaign is that there's a match. So every single donation is matched by United Arts and Orange County to the Orange County nonprofits that are in the campaign. So you magnify your gift when you give through the collaborative campaign because of those matching dollars. The matching pool of funds is $1,250,000 for a $10 million campaign. So it's a great match. It's a great time to really maximize your giving to the arts because you know that your gift is going to be matched.
I do want you to talk, if you will, just to explain it to us laymen about funding outside of the United Arts campaign, meaning these organizations could apply for grants from the state, from federal, that kind of thing too.
That's correct. So the arts are eligible in Orange County for county grants, which United Arts manages, which are separate from our grants. But we have cultural tourism grants from Orange County. We have venue subsidy grants from Orange County. So that allows Orange County nonprofit arts and cultural organizations to get a rental subsidy to like rent the Dr. Phillips Center, or to rent another venue throughout Orange County for their performances or their classes or anything that they do. And so they are eligible for county funding. They also can get funding for big special events, which is really about cultural tourism. It's really trying to attract, tourists to our community. The organizations are also eligible for United Arts general operating support. So the campaign is raising money from the private sector, from the community. Then United Arts provides grants of general operating support from our discretionary funds because we raise money year-round to organizations to operate for that year. But that's only about 3 to 5% of their budgets. All arts organizations, there's a criteria for state funding. So each year, if you're a nonprofit arts and cultural organization, and that includes history and science, the science, Orlando Science Center is considered a museum as it is in its own right. And so they can also apply for funding. We are all eligible to apply. We go through a very comprehensive grant application. I write our United Arts grant, and it takes me about 10 hours. It's about 70 pages long, and it's a pretty intense application. Then there's a grants panel that reviews that's selected by the state, and then they rank all of those applications. We don't know. We all applied last July. They've just changed all the application again, so we all had to go back in, and that's due December the 5th. And then those grants will be considered for the legislative session that begins in January of 2026. And then the budget is voted on, by hopefully by June, so that when we all start our new business year on July 1st, we'll know whether we have state funding or not. Our state funding is in the past been based on general operating support. So what do we need to operate our mission, to fulfill our mission as a nonprofit? So we'll see. There have been a lot of changes, very unpredictable, but it is public money, and the legislature has the right to tell us how they think that it ought to be used. So we hope that it'll be used to fulfill our missions, which is to serve individuals and children and families, and our economy and our schools and our health care, just making the state stronger. So hopefully they'll do that. And then other areas, the National Endowment for the Arts support arts and culture nonprofits, but not on a, you have to apply. It's a very competitive, and it's a 2-year process. So we would apply in August for funding the next June. That would be for another year of funding, and that's up to $150,000. And the most you can get from the state is also $150,000, which is a lot of money, and it's a lot of money to have to replace if you don't get it. So very serious part of our funding. And then arts organizations, they ask for corporate sponsorships, they apply to private foundations, they apply to corporations for their foundations. The Duke Energy has a great foundation. Truist has, all these large corporations have corporate foundations. And so we have to go everywhere. We have to go to every well. We have to step up and ask people to give to the arts now, because it doesn't come from one single source. It's got to come from all areas, where there's generosity and an opportunity for people to give.
And I asked you the question to make that point for people listening that we matter in this process too, because I think it's easy, Jennifer, to start thinking about these big grants and things, and you might just assume that it's all handled. So the
Right.
collaborative campaign matters.
The collaborative campaign last year had 10,000 gifts, and they're everywhere from $5 to $50,000 to $1,000 to $250. Every single gift matters. And when you think about 10,000 gifts, we need 20,000, right? We want people to know that the arts are a great place to touch people's lives, to help individual artists thrive, to help children discover their own creativity, and that there's a need. And all of this money, 100% of this money, stays right here in Central Florida. And that's a key thing. We have opportunities to help people around the world, but we hope people will start with their neighbors here in Central Florida and the opportunity for creativity.
So let's end with you letting people know how to do this. The collaborative campaign starts on December 1st. Where do we go? What do we do?
Absolutely. So it's very easy. UnitedArtsCFL.org. And that's our website. And you can just go straight to the donate button. It takes you to the collaborative campaign page. You pick the organizations you want to support, or just the Arts for All Fund. Make the donation and click donate. And but you can also, when you go online, you can find our mailing address, or you can give us a call and we'll send you a pledge form. We are mailing to 14,000 households, so hopefully they'll respond. But if you don't get one in the mail, give us a call or just go online. And the campaign lasts until April the 30th. So there is time to give early and give often, as they say. And when you're thinking about the holidays and you want to honor somebody that's been kind to you this year, or celebrate an anniversary or a birthday, think about giving to the arts. That's a great way to have a real lasting impact in your community with a gift. And we can also send a gift acknowledgement to anyone that you want to make a gift to. So pretty easy. And the impact is local. It's right here.
Jennifer Evans is President and CEO of United Arts of Central Florida. I'm Beth Perrell.